Hello, brothers and sisters. Today we celebrate the feast of St. Margaret of Scotland. And you say, who was she? Well, she was a daughter of a Saxon king. She married King Malcolm III of Scotland around 1070. She was an instrument of grace in both her marriage and her nation. She read aloud to her illiterate husband, encouraging in him a love of learning and a spirit of prayer. Whatever she refused, he refused also. Whatever pleased her, he also loved for the love of her. Let's take a look at the readings for today on this feast of Margaret of Scotland. From the second book of Maccabees, chapter 6, verses 18 to 31. Eleazar, one of the foremost scribes, a man of advanced age and noble appearance, was being forced to open his mouth to eat pork, but preferring a glorious death to a life of defilement, he spat out the meat and went forward of his own accord to the instrument of torture, as people ought to do who have the courage to reject the food which it is unlawful to taste, even for love of life. Those in charge of that unlawful ritual meal took the man aside privately because of their long acquaintance with him and urged him to bring meat of his own providing, such as he could legitimately eat, and to pretend to be eating some of the meat of the sacrifice prescribed by the king. In this way, he would escape the death penalty and be treated kindly because of their old friendship with him. But Eleazar made up his mind in a noble manner, worthy of his years, the dignity of his advanced age, the merited distinction of his gray hair, and of the admirable life he had lived from childhood. And so he declared that above all, he would be loyal to the holy laws given by God. He told them to send him at once to the abode of the dead, explaining, "At our age it would be unbecoming to make such a pretense. Many young people would think the 90-year-old Eleazar had gone over to an alien religion. Should I thus pretend for the sake of a brief moment of life, they would be led astray by me, while I would bring shame and dishonor on my old age. Even if for the time being I avoid the punishment of men, I shall never, whether alive or dead, escape the hands of the Almighty. Therefore, by manfully giving up my life now, I will prove myself worthy of my old age, and I will leave to the young a noble example of how to die willingly and generously for the revered and holy laws." Eleazar spoke thus, and went immediately to the instrument of torture. Those who shortly before had been kindly disposed now became hostile toward him, because what he had said seemed to them utter madness. And when he was about to die under the blows, he groaned and said, "The Lord, in his holy knowledge, knows full well that although I could have escaped death, I am not only enduring terrible pain in my body from this scourging, but also suffering it with joy in my soul because of my devotion to him." And this is how he died, leaving in his death a model of courage and of unforgettable example of virtue, not only for the young, but for the whole nation. Brothers and sisters, where comes that kind of bravery? It comes from God. Ask him daily. You never know what might happen or what my people might ask of you. Brothers and sisters, we have to be ready. Hopefully we won't have to do it this way, but hopefully we need to trust in our Lord, to trust in him and what he would want of us. Psalm 3, the Lord upholds me. O Lord, how many are my adversaries! Many rise up against me. Many are saying of me, there is no salvation for him in God. But you, O Lord, are my shield, my glory. You lift up my head. When I call out to the Lord, he answers me from his holy mountain. When I lie down and sleep, I wake again, for the Lord sustains me. I fear not the myriads of people arrayed against me on every side. The Lord upholds me. Remember that. Pray Psalm 3. Make it your own. No matter what we encounter, he is with us. And if we call upon him first, he will show us. Please, brothers and sisters, put all your trust in him. And then we take a look at the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. At that time, Jesus came to Jericho and intended to pass through the town. Now a man there named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector and also a wealthy man, was seeking to see who Jesus was, but he could not see him because of the crowd, for he was short in stature. So he ran ahead. He climbed a sycamore tree in order to see Jesus, who was about to pass that way. Would you do that? Would you climb a tree so you could see Jesus better? And when he reached the place, Jesus looked up, because Jesus knows it all. He looked up and he said, Zacchaeus, come down quickly, for today I must stay at your house. Can you imagine the shock? And he came down quickly and received him with joy. And when they saw this, they began to grumble, saying, he's going to stay at the house of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, behold, half of my possessions, Lord, I shall give to the poor. And if I have extorted anything from anyone, I shall repay it four times over. And Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house because this man, too, is a descendant of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save what is lost. Brothers and sisters, you're loved. You're so loved by God. God tries to reach us through his servants. Please listen. Listen to his word. Listen to those who are close to Jesus. Listen, because he will show us the way to eternal life. Jesus has raised us above all the fragile things of this world, whose image passes away. He has placed, so to speak, all things under our feet. Like Zacchaeus, we climbed a tree to see Jesus. Then we could say with St. John of the Cross, all is mine, all is for me. The earth is mine, the heavens are mine, God is mine, and the mother of my God is mine. What a mystery is our grandeur in Jesus. This is all that Jesus has shown us in making us climb the symbolic tree about which I was just talking to you. Now what science is he about to teach us? Has he not taught us all? Let us listen to what he is saying to us. Make haste to descend. I must lodge today at your house. Well, Jesus calls us to descend. Where then must we descend? And this is St. Therese, who said to her sister, Celine, you know better than I. However, let me tell you where we must now follow Jesus. In days gone by, the Jews asked our divine Savior, Master, where do you live? And he answered, the foxes have had lairs, the birds of heaven their nests, but I have no place to rest my head. This is where we must descend in order that we may serve as an abode for Jesus, to be so poor that we do not have a place to rest our head. Now, she was not saying that you literally have to sell everything and that you have to really be a pauper. But what it does mean is that you see what's really important in your life. Where does the money you do have go? What are you doing with it? Do you help in some way to feed the poor? Do you see the beggar on the street? Do you see people who are blind in doctor's offices, etc., etc.? Are you willing to serve God in the guise of the poor and the weak and the sinful? Are you willing to help them? Because when you do, you are helping God. God needs no help, but he receives it because he sees your generosity. So many times, I know, we can say, oh, I should give to this or I should give to that, but we never get around to it because we always want something for ourselves or something for others. And that can be very, very good too, but does all your money have to go to that? Do something for the poor today, brothers and sisters. Something little. Even to say hello. Even to hand them a dollar. No matter what it is and how little you have, just give them something because Jesus is in them. Whether they know it or not, Jesus is with them. And he is with you. Reach out your hand. When you give it, know that you are giving to Christ as well as to this poor person. Be not afraid. God knows, and God will bless you for all that you do for others. Brothers and sisters, Saint Therese said this in a letter to her sister, "This, dear Celine, is what Jesus has done in my soul during my retreat. Let us allow him to act. He can complete his work in our souls. What Jesus desires is that we receive him into our hearts. No doubt they are already empty of creatures, but alas, I feel mine is not entirely empty of myself. And it is for this reason that Jesus tells me to descend. He, the King of Kings, humbled himself in such a way that his face was hidden and no one recognized him. And I too want to hide my face. I want my beloved alone to see it, that he be the only one to count my tears, that in my heart at least he may rest his dear head and feel that there he is known and understood." Think of that, brothers and sisters. The Lord, Therese of Lisieux, following the Lord that way, closely, in the poorest of the poor, in the most needy. May God bless you. Amen.
For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.